Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it, for the Lord is good. The Lord is wonderful. The Lord is kind. God is so awesome. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy March 1st, everybody. Today is day 15 of our 40-day sojourn together in fasting and prayer. We are inching ever so closely to the halfway mark of our journey, and God is so good. Thank you all for joining us live on the call, and thank you for those who will be listening later. We thank and praise God for all of you. We're going to get right to the Word. The Word this morning is coming to us from the book of Micah. Micah, Old Testament, book of Micah. Chapter 7, Micah chapter 7, and I only want to notice in your hearing verse 18, but in your own personal private time with God, read the entire chapter, which will bless your life. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. And I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. I love it. I love it. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For just a few minutes, I want to talk about mercy, mercy me. Mercy, mercy me. Beloved, when we read this seventh chapter of Micah, we read how the people of Israel are stuck in misery. In fact, verses 1 through 6 talks about all the misery that Israel is experiencing. Verse 1 says, "What misery is mine?" Micah saying, you know, there's misery all around. And to summarize these first six verses, it says that the righteous are swept away from the land. Those who remain are out for themselves. He's surrounded by lies and deceit and manipulation. They're the order of the day, the powerful scheme for riches. Neighbors, friends, family can't be trusted. Betrayal abounds all around. It's a mess in Israel. Kind of sounds like today. It's just misery all around. Everything happening, scheming, lies, deceit, manipulation, the righteous being swept away off their post. It's a daunting time in the life of Israel. But I like what the prophet Micah says in verse 7. He makes a pivot even in the midst of this misery. He makes a bold proclamation. Verse 7 says, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me." Oh, that should encourage somebody this morning, that when you are surrounded by misery, and it feels like everything around you is crumbling, everything around you is falling apart, misery gives way to manipulation, manipulation gives way to lies and schemes and betrayal. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Like Micah, we ought to say, "As for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me." This lets us know that no matter how bad it gets, when you put your focus on God, God then delights in showing us mercy. So to those who are seeking God in the midst of your misery, the relevant question this morning is, what should we expect from a God who delights in mercy? I love it. What should we expect from a God who delights in mercy? I think the answer is in verse 18. Let's read. and see together. First of all, first thing, three things. You know it's got to be three things. First thing is, a merciful God pardons our sins. The A clause, verse 18, says this: who is a God like you who pardons sin? Listen, there is no God like our God. Our God sees our misery, and in the midst of our misery, brings forth a pardon for our sins. Now, that comes to those who seek God. So for those who are seeking God, even in the midst of your misery, God will pardon your sins. In fact, beloved, the prophet is given a glimpse of the future. He's shown in this text that no matter how bad things get for Israel, how bad things get for the children of God, the text shows us and the prophet declares for us in the future tense that although sin abounds, God's mercy will endure forever, and that sin will ultimately be paid for on the cross. Aren't you glad that he pardons our sins? God is so merciful, even in the midst of our misery, that he is willing, if we come seeking after him, to pardon our sins. So the text says that although sin may abound, sin is everywhere, mercy will endure forever, and ultimately your sins will be paid for on Calvary's cross. But there's more here, beloved. Not only is it important to understand that what we can expect from a merciful God or a God who delights in mercy is pardoning of our sins, but then the second thing, beloved, that we can expect is that a merciful God passes over our transgressions. Look at the B clause of verse 18. Now, in the NIV, it says, and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance. But in the New King James Version, it says, and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance. Watch this. The pardon of sin is for the current generation, the generation that is currently acting out in the eyes of God. God is going to pardon the current generation. But then what God will do in his mercy, oh, mercy, mercy me, is that he will pass over the punishment that was due to the previous generation in order to bless the remnant and future generations that are to come. See, beloved, God wants to manifest and to bring forth that the sins of the Father will not be laid on the Son. Oh, what a merciful God. Now, the question you may ask is, why would God do this? Because as children of God, we are God's inheritance. Children of God, the people of Israel, are God's inheritance. So God says, not only am I going to pardon the sin of the current generation, but I'm going to pass over their transgressions so that it is not laid bare on the future generation who is to be my inheritance. Aren't you glad that God says, I saw what's happening in the past, but I'm not going to lay it at your feet. I saw what took place in the past, but I'm not going to allow it to remain in your life. I saw the spark of the generational curse of the past, but because I'm a merciful God, I'm not going to allow that to remain or insist in your life. That's something to praise God for. We thank and praise God for a merciful God who passes over, New King James Version says, passes over transgressions so that the remnant may receive what they're supposed to have, the remnant who is the inheritance of God. The people of God are covered because we have a God of mercy. But can I show you something else in this text that blessed me? Not only is it important to understand that God pardons our sins, a merciful God pardons our sins, not only is it important to understand that a merciful God passes over our transgressions, that the sins of the past are not laid bare to the people of the future. Hallelujah. But then finally, a merciful God takes pleasure in showing us his mercy. A merciful God takes pleasure in showing us his mercy. Watch this. C clause of verse 18 says, "You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." See, beloved, what should have manifested in destruction and what should have manifested in annihilation due to sin before God, a stopgap measure was put in place called the cross. Stopgap measure was put in place called the pardoning of our sins by way of payment on the cross. A stopgap measure was put in place that where we should have been destroyed, that destruction disappeared and turned into God's delight to show forth mercy. It disappeared, meaning that God changed the course of his divine conduct, and where he should have destroyed us, he then turned around to show us mercy. Think about it. When you should have been dead, hallelujah, when you should have been out of here, when you should have paid for the penalty of what you did, God said, no, I'm going to change the course of my divine conduct. Watch this. God changes the course of his divine conduct, and he gives us another chance. That's what mercy is. Mercy is making sure we get another chance as he changes the course of his divine conduct. I'm going to close with this, and I'm praying. Psalm 147:11 says this, that the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Listen, y'all, he takes pleasure in showing mercy, especially to those who he delights in, those who fear him, who reverence him, and who put their hope in his unfailing love. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Thank you, God, for the mercy that comes from your unfailing love toward us. Remember this, that God changed the course of his divine conduct to give us another chance. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, on a Friday morning, we are grateful for your mercy. Lord, there's some who are on this line that may be surrounded by misery. But like Micah, Lord, we have to say, like Micah said in verse 7, we have to say, but as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. We know that you hear and answer prayer. And we know, Lord God, that despite all that we've done, you pardon us of our sins. Thank you, God, that you pass over our transgressions in order to bless us. Thank you, God, that you give us an opportunity to experience the pleasure of showing mercy toward us. Thank you, Lord, that you changed your divine conduct in order to give us another chance. Thank you, Lord God, for your unfailing love and compassion toward us. Now, blood, bless us and keep us and continue to make your face to shine upon us. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, you ought to be able to say, oh, mercy, mercy me. I'm not talking Marvin Gaye. I'm talking God. Amen. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Y'all be blessed in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and know that God delights in showing you mercy.